inclement weather and a busy schedule during the week, but as I told y'all last time, Wednesday nights are really my favorite. Sundays, you have to wake up early, you can't sleep in. No. But you do get a mulligan. You get second service in case first service, you know, is really bad, but hey. Anyway, this evening, would you turn with me to the New Testament in Luke chapter 12? In Luke chapter 12. We're going to just go over a couple of things before we look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. But last week in our study, we learned what Proverbs says about wisdom. We learned about the way of the wise. And a summary of Proverbs, of course, is really, if you think, what is Proverbs all about? It's about walking with the Lord and staying away from evil. And so we learned that the starting place, the area that it all begins, well, Proverbs 1:7 tells us it's the fear of the Lord. It's that reverential fear to Him. It's we sense our accountability to Him, and we want to do all things that please Him. And so remember, though, we're dealing with Hebrew poetry. And in this particular style of poetry, contrast is used often. And sometimes you have parallel statements too, but contrast, what they call antithetical statements or antithetical statements, are very common in this style of poetry. And so now, instead of the way of the wise, in which we learned about last week, Proverbs shift to the way of the fool or the way of foolishness. And I'm going to be first to admit, studying Proverbs can be very convicting. Okay, you read it and you recognize areas in your own life. And I tell you, it's really convicting when you study the way of the fool. And I was actually going to title this sermon, The Way of the Fool, but I was so discouraged, I decided to title it, The Answer for a Foolish Heart. I want you to know ahead of time, there is good news this evening. Don't be depressed the whole time when we start looking at this, because it is easy to become discouraged. You know, you start studying and you recognize areas in your own life, and you say, man, I have some foolish practices that I need to correct. But what's important to never, ever forget that there truly is hope for a foolish person. We say often that people don't change, and that's true unless God changes them. And God is more ready than ever to change the heart of a fool, and we'll see that later in Proverbs. But let's look at this parable in Luke chapter 12. You should be there with me. Let's start in verse 13. It'll help prepare us for our study. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards the things of God.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dearly Father, I just thank you so much for the time of fellowship that we have to come together and worship you. Lord, let us truly leave the problems of our week, the things that have happened, the distractions, let those just fall away from our minds and our hearts as we prepare ourselves to really enter into a study of your word. And I thank you ahead of time, just what an amazing God that you are. And that in your insurmountable love, you still have a plea to the heart of the fool to change his ways. So Lord, help us tonight and correct us in areas that we may not even see we have a deceitful or foolish practice, so that we may be closer to you and truly do all things that are pleasing unto your sight. So we thank you for our time together. Let us never take it for granted. It is in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. So the question we'll start out with is, what is a fool? I haven't been called a fool very often, maybe by my family. But, you know, it's not something that you hear often in normal time vernacular, right? You know, I mean, you call people stupid or you call them slow, but usually fool is not something that you hear. But I started with the parable because I think we should learn what Jesus defines a fool as to really understand our study. Because according to Jesus and what we just read in Luke chapter 12, a fool is one who actually stores up treasure for themselves. Very important that we see that. It's someone that is seeking to satisfy the hunger, the emptiness that is in their own hearts, and they're trying to satisfy it with not the things of God, but actually the things of the world. And that's why Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first what? Well, the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. But a fool, you see, that's not even anything that he thinks about. He only cares about being rich in the things of the world. He can't get past his own materialism. And just like in Proverbs, how it lists many characteristics of a person who's walking in God's wisdom, Proverbs also gives us an amazing outline on the practices of a fool. And so if you're taking notes, we're going to have 55 outline points tonight. And no, I'm just joking. I want to make sure you're listening. We're just going to have a few tonight. So number one, speaking of a fool loves you. A fool loves to argue. Is that me, brother, or is that you? It's always me, right? Anyway, a fool loves to argue. Proverbs 18:6-7 says this, a fool's lips enter into contention. Literally, what comes out of his mouth brings him into controversy. That's what that means. And it says, and his mouth calls for blows. And a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So those who enjoy starting arguments, those who like conflict, those who say, man, I really love to argue, well, God calls them a fool. And he says that that's actually a foolish practice. And what's even more sad is that the fool doesn't realize that his speech is hurting himself, because it says that his lips are a snare of his soul. So not only does his mouth call for blows, you want to hit him in the face. We'll learn later that doesn't help, okay? I checked. I thought, hey, is this the fivefold ministry? We have an answer. No. Turns out I was wrong. It's not on there. Listen, Proverbs 12:23 says this, it is honorable for a man to stop striving. To stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. And what's so sad is, a fool, he's going to argue about something that's not even concrete. He'll just argue for the sake of arguing. He doesn't care. And we'll find later, it's a lot of it is to do with his pride. But a wise man, he is going to avoid that conflict. But never forget, if you're thinking of foolish practices, a fool loves to argue. And secondly, a fool has no regard for sin. They have no regard for sin. Now, any sin is one that a believer should run from. But a fool, according to Proverbs 10:23, says this, to do evil is like a sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. So for someone who is a fool, listen, sin is just part of his lifestyle. It's like a sport. It's a pastime. It's nothing that he has any conviction about. Why? Because he treats sin lightly. It is part of his lifestyle, a sin, and he actually runs to it. In Proverbs 13:19, it says, a desire accomplishes sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination for fools to depart from evil. Imagine that. They don't want to depart from evil. They actually want to run to it. They want to take place in it. And they mock at sin, according to Proverbs 14:9. It says, fools mock at it. They mock at sin. They have no regard for the Lord and what he says. But it says, but among the upright, there is favor. Amen? So don't forget, not only does a fool love to argue, but they also here have no regard for sin. They treat it lightly. They don't think that there's ever going to be any consequence for their actions. But we know that that's a lie. We do reap what we sow. Number three, in speaking of the characteristic of a fool, coming from Proverbs 7, chapter 7, 21 and 23, the harlot speaking here, a fool is easily seduced. Don't forget that. There's a lot of seduction in today's world. A fool is easily seduced. In Proverbs 7:21-23, It says regarding to a prostitute or a harlot, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. Literally, she turned him aside. Remember, we're dealing with poetry here, so this is something that is actually metaphorical and also literal. It says, with her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter or as a fool goes to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost his life. How sad. A fool actually responds quickly to temptation. They fall into the trap of temptation and seduction easily. Because why? Well, they're guided by their feelings. And when you're guided by your feelings, it's very easy to fall into a lot of traps in your life, but especially that of seduction. But it's interesting here, the Hebrew word that's translated as speech, when it says in Proverbs 7:21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. That word translated speech in Hebrew actually means to teach. See, we have contrasting statements here. This woman, this harlot, actually represents a worldview that is opposite of the fool's father. It is opposite of how he was raised. Remember, we said that Proverbs is primarily a book that's written towards young people, right? As a protective covering, saying, listen, if you follow these steps in your life, if you truly fear the Lord and you receive the wisdom, you don't have to end up in destruction like the way of a fool. And so it's like a protective covering of instruction. But it's interesting because she, like I said, she represents that different worldview. And so when she does that, it says she caused him to yield, which literally means she turned him aside. So not only did she turn his body towards her home, but she turned the inward lust of his heart towards her. Be careful about temptation and seduction. We will dedicate an entire evening just to what Proverbs says about this topic. Number four. Oh, and true, here's the main thing. Don't ever forget where it leads. It leads to death. The fool didn't even know it would cost him his life. In Proverbs 2:18-19, it says this, for her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So a fool, he quickly responds to that seduction or temptation. Another practice that you'll see often in a foolish person is that they actually squander money. I love what Proverbs 21:20 says. It says, there is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. I tell you, in my studies here in Proverbs preparing for this series, it is so striking what an unbelievable resource is. Proverbs is a resource for finances, for money. It has a lot to say about money. Listen, I love this because it says there's desirable treasure and oil in the wise. So having money certainly is not a bad thing. There's this admonition there that it's not a bad thing at all. But what Proverbs is concerned about is not how much money you have, but it is concerned with how you got it. Yeah. Very concerned about the motivations behind you having it. And it's also extremely concerned on what you do with it, your stewardship behind it. But one way to start spot a fool is, man, they squander money. In the Hebrew, that literally means he gulps it down. Why? He wants instant gratification. And if that isn't something that is just a mantra that's repeated in our society, you can have this now, you can get this car now, you can get this phone now, everything. Hey, buy it on credit, whatever. A fool squanders money. He doesn't see any need for preparing for the future, but we knew from last time that in the house of the wise, we learned, is continual abundance. Because a wise man is actually a good steward. They actually prepare for unexpected expenses, we learned. And so Proverbs 3:16 says, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. You know, the very thing that the fool is after, if he would submit himself, ask God to forgive him, turn his ways and follow the Lord, God would give it to him. Amen. You know? And that's how it is with us, loved one. I mean, so many times we're after something and we don't do it God's way. And God says, listen, if you would just be obedient, your obedience will always lead to victory. Yes. He doesn't need our abilities, but he certainly does require our availability. And I pray that we're available under him. Listen, number five, well, we're talking about the characteristics that we're going to see in the fool. Yes, they're going to argue and all those things, squander money. But this one brings us back to our parable in Luke 12. A fool is actually one who develops an earthly value system. A fool develops an earthly value system. So what happened? Well, since his harvest was bigger than what his current barns could hold, already a wealthy man, he said, well, I'm just going to tear them down and build more barns. Then I'm going to say to my soul, hey, it's all good. I can eat, drink, and be fat and drunk, right, and not have to worry about anything. But God caused him a fool, is what Jesus said. You see, when a person starts to trust in the things that they possess, when a person starts to see their value in the material things, well, I have to have this car, or I need to be in this neighborhood, or this, that, and the other. And then, like I said, the world is pushing that. God says you have an earthly value system, and that's the way of a fool. Very important that we see that, because, listen, it's easy to feel a sense of security when you have a lot of money. Amen? Listen, do you feel better? Praise God, now I know what Bill goes through. Do you feel better when you walk into the store and your wallet's full of cash?
Yes.
Okay. Don't you feel worse when you walk in and you don't have any?
Yes.
And it's your turn to buy with your friend and you're at lunch? Okay. So is there a security that comes with having money?
Yes.
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 What's the problem? Well, we can't put our trust in it. You see, there's a very fine line. It's okay. Listen, there is oil. There's desirable treasure in the house of the wise. But they're stewards of their money according to God's finances. You see, the treasure that they have, they're storing their things in heaven. It's not about what's on earth. So we have to be so careful. And I'm at fault for this too. Hey, listen, I feel better if I have money in the bank. Hasn't happened in a long time. But when I did, it made me feel better. But listen, we have to be careful that we're not putting our trust in the things that we possess. It's real easy to get a sense of security. And I could say, oh, well, hey, I'm at ease. I got my retirement and I have this. But listen, I've seen people that have invested with thieves and become multimillionaires to poor people in just a day. We always have to put our trust in the one who is our source, not in the resources in which he provides unto us. Amen? Very important. Number six, when we're talking about the characteristics that describe a fool, I'm sure y'all are familiar with this one. A fool operates in anger and resentment. A fool operates in anger and resentment. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. That root of the Hebrew word translated wrath there, a fool's wrath is known at once. It is to be upset or to be incensed. Listen, don't ever be deceived into thinking that foolish actions don't have consequences. It's easy to look at the foolishness of the world, and the devil wants you to say, look how prosperous their way is. That's the way that you should go. But I tell you, he's the prince and power of the air, meaning he's going to settle in. It's a play on words in the Greek, but what he likes to do is settle in on a situation so you don't see things how they really are. He'll settle in like a fog, like a smog in a situation. You'll say, no, that's there, but it's really not. And how important it is that we're walking by faith, but not by sight.
Amen.
So they have a problem here with rage. And listen, this is a dangerous thing. Wrath is a really dangerous thing. The sages actually said that wrath is a dangerous emotion that kills the fool, which is exactly what Job 5:2 says. It says, for wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. So we don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to be wise and not ever show this emotion. We want to cover this shame. I remember a long time ago, a man was shot dead up in Denison. And I spoke to his friend. He'd been his friend for years since they were in school together. And he was shot on the porch. He came over to a domestic dispute situation that he shouldn't have been going to. And I remember asking my friend, I said, well, you know, well, what happened there? And he said, well, Thomas, Dennis was quick with the knife. And I never forgot that because he had this explosive anger. He had this wrath that would come out and he would immediately pull a knife. And that time it cost him his life because the guy that he pulled a knife on went and got a shotgun and shot him in his back when he was walking to his truck. Listen, don't think for a second just because the past wrath or the past anger or the past foolishness that we have walked in will not have consequences. They might not be immediate. They might not be immediately apparent. But I'm telling you, they will always end in destruction and death and separation from God. Very important that we see that. Proverbs 14:29 tells us, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. I like this one. In Proverbs 27:3, it says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty. Parallel statements. But, let's see the contrast, a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. So a fool is actually, like I said, they're known for their anger and they're known for their resentment. And anytime I talk about this subject, I immediately hear people will say, well, what I have is righteous anger. Well, praise God. I hope it is. They'll say, you know, my life scripture is from Ephesians 4, you know, be angry, sin not. They got the tattoo, you know, and say, be angry, sin not. And I said, well, praise God, that's good. That's nice ink. Where'd you get it done, you know? But listen, righteous anger is never directed towards an individual. It is always directed towards what is wrong and what is sinful. Don't fall into the trap in this false humility thinking, well, what I have is righteous anger because of what they've done. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. When Jesus cleansed the temple, he didn't start whipping the people. Okay, he drove them out. Why? Because of the actions. It was because of the sin. They were taking advantage of the people, making his father's house a den of thieves. But a believer, man, may we never be known for anger or resentment. What we should be known for what? Well, for our love, right? Romans 12:17, I love this, through 21, says, repay no one evil for evil. Well, no, they paid me evil. This is what I should give back. No, that's not righteous anger. We're talking about a different situation here. God's word says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Aren't you glad? He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That's how to win the lost right there. Anyway, number 7, speaking of a fool, he practices lying and deceit. In Proverbs 14:8, it says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. In 15:7, it says, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. They want people to know the truth, but the heart of the fool does not do so. How amazing. The fool actually does not want people to know the truth. He thinks he knows the truth and he's confused, but he wants to be in control. He wants to control any kind of knowledge that he may have. But excellent speech is not becoming of a fool, is what Proverbs 17:7 says, much less lying lips to a prince. So fools are known for their lies and their deceitful practices. And the last one, and we'll talk about this in depth, is a fool's heart is full of pride. A fool's heart is full of pride. It's amazing what pride will cost an individual. Later in our study, since Proverbs covers this a lot, we'll actually spend an entire evening just discussing what Proverbs says about pride. But Proverbs 14:3 says, In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride. He goes around beating people with it. He has a rod of pride. It says, but the lips of the wise will preserve him. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So because of this pride, this hubris, this excessive pride that is in a fool's heart, it's going to cause them to do certain things. And the first one is going to cause them to believe that they are always right. Have y'all ever met anybody like that? Well, man, they're going to always believe they are always right. And that can be easy to see when you talk to someone, when they want to argue about matters that aren't even concrete or aren't even clear. I mean, you're not talking about whether Jesus rose from the dead or not. I mean, just little things. And you can't ever reason with them. You can't ever talk to them. Why? Well, because they always believe that they're right. And see, on top of that, because of this pride, when an individual always believes they are right, what also happens? Well, they don't respond to correction. They don't respond to correction. No matter how many times you try to reason with a fool, you're not going to get through to them. Proverbs 17:10 says, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. So you can't beat it into him. I thought earlier you could with the fivefold ministry, but this verse shot it. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We can't hit anybody tonight, guys. But you want to. Why? Because you talk to them over and over. You show them what God's word said. You say, listen, God loves you. You don't have to live this way. What you're doing is contrary to what Scripture says. And what do they do? I don't think that's right. I don't really think that's an accurate definition. That's not really how I feel. You know, everything is based on the pride that is in their heart. And so they always believe they're right. They're not going to respond to any correction. Proverbs 27:22, I love this. It says, though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle. You remember the mortar and pestle, you know, at the pharmacies? So even if you grind them with a mortar and pestle, along with crushed grain, let's throw a little something of substance in here. Maybe that'll help. Yet foolishness will not depart from him. So the pride that is in a fool's heart, it's always going to cause him to believe he's right. It's going to cause him not to respond to correction. And we know a wise man from last week increases in knowledge, right? I mean, when you find out that you're wrong about something and you have God's wisdom, you're thrilled. I mean, you want to know the facts. It's a blessing to you. Why? Because you know you never reach a plateau in Christianity or any aspect of life. We're all growing. But a fool here, besides not taking correction, and this is one of the most tragic of all, he will actually resist the Lord. He will actually resist the Lord. It says in Proverbs 14:6, a wise man fears and departs from evil. He gets away from it. But a fool rages and is self-confident. It goes on to say in 19:3, the foolishness of a man twists his ways, and his heart frets against the Lord. So he has no sense of accountability towards God. And we know that our sense of accountability towards God is everything when we're talking, having a relationship with him, walking in his wisdom. We learned about that last week. But they actually resist the Lord. You say, well, why? Because they always know best. They always know best. And listen, that shouldn't make us angry. It really should make us sad. It should break our hearts. And I joke and talk about, yeah, I'd like to hit the fool. And we've all been frustrated with him. But the fact of the matter is, we've all been the fool ourselves. On more occasions than one, amen? Yes. Yeah, see, this side was honest this time. You bring it out in them. They were being liars earlier, but I'm proud of them. What else about this pride? Well, this pride will actually cause them to hate knowledge. Can you believe that? I enjoy learning so much. I never want to stop learning in any subject. But a fool, listen, they actually hate knowledge. Just like we read in Proverbs 1:22 last week, it says, how long, you simple ones, how long, you fools, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So that pride, that hubris that is in the heart of the fool keeps them from wanting to know the truth that is in God's word. It actually prevents them from hearing the wisdom of God. They always believe that they're right. They can't be wrong. That's not possible. Because of that, they don't respond to rebuke. They don't trust in the Lord. They trust in their own heart. And because of that, they actually resist him. They hate knowledge and the truth. Proverbs has a lot to say about the way of a fool. A lot to say. Like I said, this is a warning for all of us. And so that's a fool's practice we've seen. The things that they like to do. We see the pride that is absolutely a characteristic of a fool. But another way to find out if someone is foolish is by what comes out of their mouth. This is a huge red flag, loved one, because A fool not only joys lying, but they take great satisfaction in the spreading of slander. They take great satisfaction in the spreading of slander. Don't miss this. Proverbs 10:18 says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. I tell you, it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see the amount of slander that is in the corporate church today. And I tell you, we don't ever want to take part in that sin of slander and gossip. We want to run for that. If somebody comes, you know, you have to have someone else to spread it. You know, when someone comes to you talking that garbage, you can shut them down right there and say, hey, I'm not taking part of that. But thank you. I love you. But God's word is clear. I can't violate God's word. It's not a holier-than-thou attitude. It's just in love. Say, hey, listen, that's dangerous territory. It's dangerous, dangerous for a believer to mess in that area. So never forget that a fool, he's one who loves to spread slander and gossip. I know that there were a joke a long time ago about three pastors, and they were out on a boat fishing. They were all friends, but they weren't at the same church. They actually had different congregations. They were all senior pastors, which doesn't mean they were old, but they were. And they're out fishing together, and they're talking about the sins in the church. And say, well, maybe we should talk about it. Maybe we should open up and share some of the sins that we're dealing with. I mean, we are pastors after all. So the first one says, well, you know, the fact of the matter is, guys, and I'm embarrassed about this, but I have a problem with alcohol. You know, he's, I think I do. I mean, I'm not getting drunk every day or anything, but man, I really like my scotch. And the next pastor said, well, that's horrible. You know, golly, you sinner. And they said, well, what is yours? He said, well, I really like gambling. I have a problem with the horse races. And man, I go there and I can blow some money real quick. And it's a stronghold in my life. And the other two, God, I cannot believe you guys. There was a moment of time that passed, and the other two pastors looked at the one that had been silent and said, well, what's your sin? And he said, well, guys, I hate to tell you this, but my sin is slander, and I can't wait to get back home and tell everybody about your sin that's in your life. Listen, never forget, guys, a fool is one who spreads slander. He's one who spreads gossip, and it does a lot of damage. And it's sad because the truth travels a lot slower than the lie. Have you ever noticed how fast a lie will travel? But we don't want to take part in that. Amen? It says in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And it says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I love that. Proverbs 10:12 tells us that hatred stirs up strife. It's actually from hatred, but it says love covers all sin. And you can say, well, I don't feel like walking in love. Well, a fool, Proverbs teaches, is one who is guided by what? How they feel. So be very careful. Listen, if I was guided by how I feel, I wouldn't have showed up today. Are you kidding me? Not that I don't love y'all. But it's like, God, you want me to share your word? Seriously? You know? I mean, can't you get somebody else better? You know what I mean? But hey, listen, we all feel that sometimes. You know, if I was relying on how I feel every day, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We can't do that. You're also lucky I don't tell you everything I feel. Anyway, listen, wisdom, it rests in the heart of him who has understanding. That's what Proverbs 14:33 says. But what is in the heart of a fool is made known. You see, a fool doesn't delight in understanding. Have you ever had someone ask you a question and they don't really even listen to it? They just want to express their own feelings after you answer their question? That's what a fool is. They don't even want to listen. They just want to tell you how they feel. And because of that, they are guided by how they feel. And I'll say this quickly, and I say it with love and tenderness and absolutely not one bit of judgment in my heart. But it is unbelievably dangerous to be guided by one's feelings. And that is the mantra that is repeated over and over and over in this world right now. And I've seen precious people mutilate themselves, trying to change a fact of biology because of how they feel. I don't say that in any judgment, but I'm showing you how powerful it is when you go down the road to be controlled by your feelings. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Not how we feel. And listen, we can't trust our heart. It's deceitful. It's wicked. Let's be honest with one another. But a fool, too, he's going to speak without listening. Like I said, Proverbs 18:13 says, "He who answers a matter before he hears it, it's folly and shame to him." So those are the fool's practices. We see that he has an issue with pride. He also has an issue in his manner of speech. But what's really sad here is that his actions don't only hurt him, but they actually hurt his family. So if you're living a foolish life or an aspect of your life, know, loved one, that it is causing, if your parents are still around, it is causing horrible pain for your family.
Yeah.
It's causing horrible pain for your family. It says that in Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. I like this one. It says, a fool despises his father's house, but he who receives correction is prudent. They had that discerning, that discernment. Proverbs 11:29 says, he who inherits, or he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be the servant to the wise. So a fool thinks that he's arrived because of the foolish heart that he has. He thinks that he is right in everything, that he's in charge, that he doesn't need to listen to anybody. But I read that and it says a fool's going to end up to the servant, to the one who's wise. And not only that, everything is going to lead to destruction. His actual life is going to lead into destruction. It says in Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. So the future for a fool, loved one, is always destruction. It even says that the lips of the righteous will feed many, but fools die. They die for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 10:21. The very thing that God would give unto them if they would turn from their wicked ways and submit to him. The very thing they lack and they die from it. Yet they could turn to the Lord and they could live. And like I said earlier, what's really tragic is when you try to confront a fool, what happens? Well, you don't get very far. Proverbs 23:9 says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Man, Proverbs has a lot to say about the way of the fool. And listen, maybe you know some of these foolish practices are in your life, or maybe they're in the life of somebody that you know. But we cannot forget that despite the practices of a fool, despite the pride that's in a fool, despite the manner of speech that is so unbecoming and not and contrary to God's word, despite all of that, there is hope for a fool because of the amazing God that we serve.
Amen.
And I pray that you, if anything, you remember that, because in Proverbs, we have several pleas from the heart of God himself to the fool. In Proverbs 8:5, it says this, O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Man, when I read Proverbs 8:5 there, I was so encouraged. I was so encouraged in the midst of kind of a discouraging study time. You know, because like I said, if we're honest with ourselves, there isn't at least one area of a foolish practice that's prevalent in our lives. And God's appeal here to the foolish person tells him, listen, you can have an understanding heart. You can actually have a heart that hears. That's the same thing that Solomon prayed for. Back in 1 Kings, he said, God, you know, who am I to judge your people? Yeah, he asked for wisdom. He said, can I have a hearing heart, an understanding heart? That very thing that they lack, God would give unto them. It also says this in Proverbs 9:6. It says, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Man, that's what Pastor Bill would call a tambourine moment. For those of you who don't remember, there used to be a huge pulpit here so he could hide objects underneath. And he'd have a tambourine. All of a sudden, you know, he would just get Pentecostal on us. You know what I mean? That's a tambourine moment. Why? Because we can forsake our foolish ways. We can turn to the Lord. and he'll change our heart. That is just amazing. Instead of walking in foolishness, we can stop, turn, and we can walk in the way of understanding. Turn with me to Luke 24 real quick as we close this out. After Jesus' resurrection, let's go to verse 18 in Luke 24. After Jesus' resurrection, he was walking on a road toward a small town called Emmaus, about 7 miles to Jerusalem. And he joins two men that had been walking, and he sees that they are sad. And it says in verse 18, "Then one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened here in these days?' And Jesus said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping he was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see.'" And look what Jesus says in verse 25. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then shortly thereafter, when they realize it's Jesus, their eyes are opened, he disappears. And this is what they say in verse 32, look, "Did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he did what? Opened the scriptures to us." Jesus said first, what, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in what all the prophets have spoken." And when I read that, I was so encouraged. I nearly wept. I was so happy. Why? Because what's the answer to a foolish heart? It's God's word. It's God's word. Every time. That's exactly what Jesus used. He even used in the temptation scene, what did Jesus use to defeat Satan? God's word. Listen, the answer to a foolish heart is to turn to the Lord and say, "God, listen, I've been living the way of a fool. I have these practices in my life, and I don't want them anymore." And he's going to say, "Thank you. I've been wanting to give you wisdom. I've been wanting for you to walk in the way of understanding." He's not going to rebuke you for what you don't know. He's going to be honored that you were obedient and that you came into him and you asked him. So we can actually forsake our foolish ways, and he can change our heart. And as I close in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, as we all know, it says, "Trust in the Lord with what? All." That's right. "And lead not to your own understanding." Let's leave our feelings out of it, church. "In all your ways, acknowledge him. Look to him. And he will direct thy paths." Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for the truth that is in your word. And Lord, as I said, it is so easy to read Proverbs and the way of the fool, and as we start to recognize the areas in our own lives, whether secret or open, that we're failing. But Lord, I just thank you that there is such an amazing plea from your heart to the fool, that you have a desire in your heart to restore us, to burn away the chaff that's in our lives. Lord, we want to go to the next level. We know that the beginning of wisdom, Lord, it's all about fearing you. It's all about our accountability unto you. So, Lord, expose these areas in our life. Maybe we don't even know because we've been so deceived. It's been such a habit for so long. But, Lord, illuminate those areas so that we don't have to have a trap, set a trap for ourselves in just what we say, or ruin our witness, or be part of things that are so wicked like slander and lies and deceit. But, Lord, help us to turn ourselves back to you. Turn from any sin that's in our lives. And help us to do all things that are pleasing unto you, pleasing unto your sight, so we can truly walk in the wisdom that you have for us. And it's in Jesus' name we thank you and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this evening? We're going to go ahead and go for another hour. If you need prayer this evening, there'll be people here to pray with you. And I would be amiss to say happy Veterans Day tomorrow to all y'all. And if we have any veterans who are here or active military, know that you are especially in the prayers of our office staff tomorrow. And just how thankful we are for any past or present service. Amen? Amen. All right. Jesse? All right.